Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
This portion of the show sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I was not with you in the wake of the trade deadline in the NFL. I was really enjoying my first night off since mid-August. Don't hate me. So it's kind of fun to think about the possibilities as the trades were made and yet not necessarily have to talk about them that night on the air. But I do really like the insertion of Marshon Lattimore into the Commanders defense. They needed some help on the back end. He's a veteran. He was a number 11 draft pick going back to 2017 by the Saints. So he spent his entire career with the Saints organization, which obviously has been a roller coaster ride over that time. Four-time Pro Bowler, now with the Commanders, and he got traded for three picks, all of them in 2025. He was introduced on Wednesday, and he's really looking forward to a new challenge with the Commanders.
I'm excited. It's a new start for me. I'm just ready to go, see what's in the future for me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just ready to go and get it done.
He was asked what he adds to his new team as he joins them. Now, he's injured right now, questionable for the next Commanders game. He's got a hammy, so he didn't practice on Wednesday. But we'll see how quickly he gets on the field. And what does he bring when he does?
Experience first. It's my eighth year in the league. And just a dog, you know, me personally. You know, I'm going to go out there and do everything I can for the team to get the win. And say, just dog, just being a dog.
We're really, really excited to get one of the best corners in the entire league and a guy who fits how we play. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. He's a dog competitor. He's, he's what you want in a corner. And what's really cool is we were able to know a lot more about him. You guys probably read a cool story about this, but we have four players from the Ohio State 2014 recruiting class now. And so we're trying to corner the market there. Those guys are pretty good. I don't know how they lost any games. But so there's some guys in this locker room that knew him already. And so that's going to make this transition even easier. And we're pumped to have him.
Of course, Adam Peters echoes what's around the locker room, too. Guys like Bobby Wagner being asked, what does this say about the Commanders at the midway point?
That we want to win, and we want to win now. And so I think it was cool for them to do that. And, it's a great player to bring here.
Music to the ears of Commanders fans. We'll get back to your MVP conversation at Amy After Hours, now up on our Facebook page. Oh, the GIF. I'm all into the GIF game when it comes to our show questions. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls as well. But we're pleased to welcome longtime Raiders CEO, CBS Sports football analyst, and podcast host, What the Football with Susie Schuster. Amy Trask is one of our favorite guests, and it's been too long, Amy. So thinking about the trade deadline, some of the moves that were made, from your time in a front office, how much activity actually plays out behind the scenes as this deadline approaches?
It depends.
you know, there are years where any given team is more involved, eyeing more possibilities, open to more possibilities than other years. I really think it depends on where the team is. And there's a lot of considerations that go into a trade. Where are you from a cap standpoint? What impact will a trade have on you from a cap standpoint? Where are you from a cash standpoint? Are you looking to move a player who has a big contract you may not wish to hold on to for cash reasons, but is the team to which you're trading it looking for you to handle some of that cash? And there's roster building. There's just a lot of factors that go into whether or not you make a trade.
We've had a bunch of high-quality wide receivers change teams. Amari Cooper, of course, to Buffalo. The Chiefs getting DeAndre Hopkins. And it's obviously a challenge in the middle of a season. Why do you think these guys fit in so well, even though they're changing teams, changing systems, changing quarterbacks, all of that?
Well, I think it can depend on the player. And again, I'm not looking to equivocate, but you're talking about receivers, the men you just named, that are very, very, very skilled at their position. And you can bring them along if you are a team, if you are a coach, as quickly as you wish, or you can bring them along a little bit more slowly, depending on the player. We're going to focus on these routes. We're going to ask you to make these plays. You may not expose them to the entire playbook immediately, although, you know, you mentioned the Chiefs, and Andy Reid is just such a spectacular coach, and of course Patrick Mahomes, a phenomenal quarterback. They get together with a new receiver at practice, or they stay after practice. They run routes. It's a position where you can adapt pretty darn quickly.
The Chiefs have won 14 games in a row. If you go back to last season, it's a franchise record for them, one of the longest in NFL history, which is interesting. And yet they're not blowing teams out, Amy. They very rarely win by more than even one score. What does that say to you?
I push back on those who say, well, you know, they're really not playing as well as they were. Look, a win is a win is a win is a win. And every team that plays the Chiefs is going after the Chiefs. They are coming off not one, but multiple Super Bowls over the last few years, and people have them in their sights. Do they look like the Chiefs we saw at the end of last season? No, they don't. But that doesn't matter. They're finding ways to win. Someone told me something very early in my career in the National Football League. Good teams find a way to win. And that's what they're doing. They're finding ways to win. And I tell you this, if you're a fan of a team that is finding ways to win, that is far more important than a team looks, wow, they look really good, and don't win. You know, Patrick Mahomes is a quarterback you can turn to on the sideline and say, just find a way to win this game. And maybe it's not going to be a thing of beauty, but you know what's a thing of beauty? The W.
Yeah, no doubt about that. In that division, the AFC West, it's kind of interesting. For a few years now, it's been the Chiefs and everybody else has got losing records. We've got two teams in the Broncos and the Chargers that are both sitting at 5 wins and at the very least could offer a challenge as they start to play each other. What have you seen with the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh as their new head coach?
Well, boy, you're absolutely right to focus on both of those teams, of course, and I'll start with the Chargers. I didn't look at the numbers after this last week of games, but going into this weekend, the Chargers were giving up the fewest points of any team. Going into week 9, they were giving up, on average, only 13 points per game. That's Jim Harbaugh. That is what Jim is bringing to that team, among other things. I'm a big, big, big fan of Jim Harbaugh as a coach and as a person in many, many respects. I don't mean to suggest just as a coach. He was with us in Oakland. I thoroughly enjoyed working with him while we were together in Oakland. Al Davis had tremendous respect and appreciation for Jim. And actually, there's a fun little aside there. When Jim came to Al and said, look, I have an opportunity to go coach in college, and, you know, I love that you gave me a chance, and I love being here, but I really want to go pursue this dream. And Al was very, very, very supportive of that. And then Jim throws in, you know, it's kind of like when you were in the NFL, and then you went back to coach in college, and Al said, I went to USC. You're going to USD. It was just a funny, funny moment where Al teased him a bit. But look, I think the world of Jim as a head coach, not simply on the defensive side of the ball, but I do credit him with what the Chargers are doing defensively. But he also did something I think is so, so smart. He added Mark Trestman to their staff. I don't know Mark's official title. He's not their offensive coordinator, but he is in every offensive meeting room. And Mark does what the best coaches do. He best positions players to be their best. We had him with us in Oakland as well. I think you're going to see Justin Herbert continue to shine and shine and shine. And I credit Mark Trestman with a tremendous amount of that. And of course, credit Jim for bringing Mark in. We had Mark in Oakland. I know his offensive mind. He really is a coaching savant.
Longtime Raiders CEO Amy Trask, now with CBS Sports as an analyst and also podcast host, What the Football with Susie Schuster. It's a great listen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, Amy, while we're talking about the West, of course, your team, the Raiders, they right now share the worst record in football, though there's a bunch of teams that are sitting there at 2-7. What stands out with the team?
Well, they've obviously just made, and by the way, I'm sorry, I skipped over the Broncos. I got so excited about the Chargers that if you want me to go back to the Broncos, I will. But as to the Raiders, they obviously just made a fairly sweeping change, terminated three. I always like how I say terminated. Fired would be the word I'm actually looking for. I'm trying to be a little more genteel, but they let go three coaches after their last game. They're heading into their bye. They've added Norv Turner to the staff. Norv was with the Raiders when I was there. His son is with the Raiders. And look, Norv will do what dads do. He's going to want to help his son be the best he can be. So that might help the Raiders a bit. They've got some holes on the roster, but there are a lot of issues there. And my heart is with Raider fans because I will always and forever want the very, very, very best for them.
Tom Brady is a winner. We know that. Can't imagine he'd want to be associated with a franchise if he didn't believe in it, right? Not just for the sake of being a minority owner. How much impact can a minority owner have on a team, Amy?
As much impact as the controlling owner wishes for that minority owner to have. Every team in the league is required by league rule to have one controlling owner, meaning you can be a limited partnership, you can be an LLC, you can be a corporation, whatever ownership structure you want, but there must be one designated controlling owner who has to own a certain percentage of that team. And in the case of the Raiders, that is the Davis family. That is Mark Davis as the controlling owner voice. He can give Tom as much say-so as he wishes to give Tom. And let me make something really clear, Amy. People think, oh, Amy, meaning me, Amy, not you, Amy, do you have an issue with Tom Brady? And the answer is no, no, no. Tom Brady did in that game, and we know what game I'm talking about, he did in that game what every fan of every team wants their quarterback to do. He did nothing wrong. We can have a different conversation about the officials, but that's not the point. I have no issue whatsoever with Tom, and I hope for Raider fans that Tom does help bring out the best in the franchise.
I had a chance to listen to your most recent podcast episode, again, What the Football with Susie Schuster. It's really interesting because I heard your conversation about Dennis Allen and about the Saints making a change in season. And I know it would vary from team to team. We've already seen a couple now get removed, like Robert Saleh. What type of factors are considered when that change is a possibility, when you're talking about removing a head coach in season?
That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard decision to come to. And look, I worked for an NFL team owner who let quite a few coaches go at varying times. You've got to have a feel for what's going on in the locker room. You know, are people still responding to the coach? Are players still responding to the coach? Are other coaches still responding to the coach? Many owners take into account the fan base. When you're losing games at home, like we saw the Saints losing, and you're the owner of a team and you're listening to your fans booing and doing all sorts of things, there are team owners who factor that in as well. If you just think, we have to make a change and I can't wait any longer, you do it mid-season. But the other thing that does for your team is you're able to maybe start looking around a little bit before other teams. You can't tamper. There's restrictions on what you can do in terms of other currently employed coaches, but it gives you a little bit of a head start on figuring out what you want to do the next season. I don't think that's why most people do it, but that is an issue.
Does the strategy work to make a change mid-season?
I don't think there is a general answer to that. I really do think it's an it depends. I don't think there's one solid answer to that question. Look, the question I have always asked in football and otherwise, in business and otherwise, is and do what? You know, there were times that our fans were yelling to me, Amy, you need to get rid of the quarterback or you need to cut this player. And I would say, and do what? And the same applies to terminating, firing a head coach. And do what? If you are going to make a change, ask yourself and do what? And if your answer isn't at a minimum as good as the status quo or presumably better than the status quo, then you need to think about why you're making that change.
Always appreciate the insight of Amy Trask when she's with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. Well, you kind of set me up for another question I wanted to ask. I was hearing the comments of Cleveland Browns general manager Andrew Berry, who really at this point either doesn't have an answer or isn't revealing his answer about Deshaun Watson and what happens moving forward. So let's say they ask you for your insight. Where do you even begin?
Well, that's a great question, fellow Amy. Where do you even begin? Because you have the issue of the injury. How long will it take for him to heal? How well will he heal? What kind of a player will he be when he comes back from the injury? You have a contract that is just sitting on your shoulders. It's just the weight of that contract. They're in quite a pickle, so to speak. They have to factor in cap consequences, cash consequences, what they want to do with their football team. There's just a lot of factors going into that, and that contract is going to weigh heavily.
You mentioned the fan base. Obviously, the Cleveland fans are so involved with their team. It's an emotional relationship, and they've been through so much. I don't know whether or not that ownership considers the fan base, but I'm thinking about the fans and the locker room and how much of a downer and a weight it can be on them, too, just feeling like an entire season's been flushed.
Well, you're absolutely right. I do feel very, very strongly that you do have to take your fans into account because you can't have it both ways. You can't want the support of your fans but not care about your fans. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you're letting your fans make roster decisions. You're not letting your fans make coaching decisions. You're not letting your fans call plays. I'm not suggesting that. But I do think some owners factor in fan reaction. Clearly, they didn't factor in fan reaction in signing him, and now they have that contract sitting around weighing them down.
Two teams that have very passionate fan bases who've been starved for winners over the past 10, 15 years. In the case of the Lions, even longer, the Commanders and the Lions, and both sitting on 7 wins right now in the NFC. I feel like these two would be great sentimental favorites should they reach the playoffs and put together a run. You'll have a lot of fans from other fan bases start to jump on board with them. They're in varying stages of their kind of rebuild, if you will. But what do you see or what do you spot? What stands out about the culture that these two teams are building?
You know, you just hit that one slow and easy right across the plate, to use the baseball reference, because Jared Goff is an alum of my college. We're both alum of Cal Berkeley, so
nice.
Special love for Jared Goff. And I don't think the Rams handled moving on from him in a great way. And you know what, to the Rams' credit, they acknowledged that and said, we didn't handle it well, and they've apologized. So they've all moved on. You're exactly right. This is just very, very, very exciting for two fan bases that have been longing for this for a long time. The Commanders are an entirely different team now than they were several years ago. They seem to have just really done spectacularly well with their rookie quarterback selection. And, you know, I talked about Terry McLaurin on CBS Sports the other day. We had to identify a player who should be on cloud nine or feel really good. And I think his numbers, his statistics are phenomenal, but I think he should also feel really good about the fact that he is helping a rookie quarterback develop and being part of that development for the whole franchise. So Commanders fans should be extremely happy. And Lions fans, my gosh, let me tell you, obviously the team with which I was affiliated wasn't in the NFC North. It wasn't in the NFC at all. We were an AFC team, but we did go to Green Bay a few times during my years with the Raiders, and that is a hard, hard place to go in and win. And watching the Lions, it's they're very impressive. And you know, remember when Dan Campbell was hired and everybody was just giving him so much crap about the comment about biting kneecaps? Well, you know what? Bite them kneecaps, because he is really proving himself to be a heck of a coach.
It's amazing how one man, and he's hired great people around him. Of course, the front office is part of it, too. But he really has set a tone and created an identity for that team, and they've all bought in. It's so clear to see his role in their culture building.
You are absolutely right, and that's why I say, you know what? And this is something I believe firmly. I feel very passionate about this. I hate, this is me. You've got me on now. So when I use an adjective instead of an adverb, I have to stop and correct myself. Might in that regard be your weirdest guess, but that's okay. But I am really and truly very passionate about this. First impressions aren't always right. Remember the kneecap moment, and remember everyone's first impression, and remember the just opprobrium he got for the kneecap comment. You know what? Don't always rely on first impressions.
Kneecaps notwithstanding, he is so much about relationships and so much about building those relationships that then leads to the type of chemistry that can help you become a winning team. I mean, the guy gets emotional in his locker room after big wins. He's so proud of his team for going out there and performing the way that they do. He's all in with them, which is awesome. I love that. As part of a recent video that my show did, you know, which coach in the NFL would you most like to play for? But I was also asked a question, Aim, about some people in the sports world that are not athletes that I'd like to have dinner with around a dinner table. And by now, you know that I name dropped you because I love all of your stories. And of course, our personalities, weird recognizes weird. So we're good there.
I love that.
But wondering, to flip that around, and maybe this is not fair, but what about you? Who are a few people in the football world that you think it would be so much fun to sit down and have dinner with?
It's a great question, but it's one I would like to give some thought, and I will promise to come back on with you at some point and give you my answer if you would like. But remember, you are talking to the girl here who went to law school. So, you know, Your Honor, I would like to take that under submission. Objection calls for a hypothetical. I'd like to file my pleading later. First of all, I was so honored and so touched and so just giddy that you named me, and I do want to have dinner with you.
Yes.
But then I want to answer your question at some other point, because there's just a lot of good answers. But
yes,
you'd be one of them.
Oh, thank you.
We would have so much fun. We'd just be our weird little selves.
Yes, Team Amy. We seem to have more and more things in common the more we talk about it.
All yes,
right,
we
so
do.
Sneak, a little bit of a sneak preview, if you will. Who's a guest you have coming up for your podcast soon?
I don't know the answer to that right now. We're going to still work on it. We like to see how the week develops. I'll tell you what, though, when I know, when we decide, and when that information is available, I'm going to give you a scoop.
Team Amy Scoop. The podcast is called What the Football with Susie Schuster. It will make you laugh. It will make you think. It's terrific. So definitely check it out. You get the side of Amy Trask that I envision used to be in the front office with the Raiders. Longtime CEO. She's got the book, You Negotiate Like a Girl, at Amy Trask online. It is always so good to have you on the show. And yes, I look forward to our scoop. Thanks, Amy.
Well, number one, it is absolutely my honor and pleasure, and so much fun to join you. I am a fan of your work. I am a fan of yours.
What a great compliment, Aim. That means so much to me, considering the experience and also the amount of talking that we do together, too. Good to talk to you. The stuff about the Commanders and the Lions is cool, and I think that bodes well for fan bases just because of how they're building and the leadership they've gotten. You hear Amy talking about Jaden Daniels and what he brings to the table and how he's been a major piece of that franchise turning around. We're asking you about MVPs. Would you put Jaden in that conversation? You hear her talk about Jared Goff, too, because of their shared history. So this is a good one. Good conversation. At Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, what's going on? I love the show. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Having me on. Hey, enjoying your show, Amy. I'm normally not up to hear you, but you got a hell of a show.
Thank you.
Hi, Amy. I remember talking with you when you very first started. You were such a superstar.
Amy, thank you for taking my call. First time calling. Listen to your show every morning as I travel into Boston.
First time caller to any sports show ever. So you are kind of taking my sports show virginity right now.
Okay, well, that's not creepy at all.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sometimes I wonder if our music is cringy. People are trying to sleep, you know. I hear that from people sometimes. I listen to your show while I'm sleeping. I don't know how that's even possible. I don't have one of those voices that lulls you to sleep, at least not when I get fired up. I suppose I could be monotone every now and then for a good 10 seconds or so. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Who is your midseason NFL MVP? We've got the poll. Well, there's no poll. We've got the show. Polls are done. We've got the show question up at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. And yes, I chose a great gift to go along with. 855-212-4227. Ron is in Baltimore. Ron, welcome to After Hours.
Thank you, Amy, for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I love your show.
Yay.
First. Long time listener, first time caller.
Awesome.
My pick for MVP for if it was a running back, I would pick Derrick Henry. For the quarterback, I'd pick Lamar Jackson.
Now, how do you choose between the two of them, though? Because it's an award that can go to either.
Well, it's very hard because they're both. Are breaking records left and right. I would have to think about that.
Right? That's kind of the point. And I think in some cases, now I don't know if this will happen with the Ravens backfield, but in some cases you have two really good guys that are sharing the load, especially when they're playing on the same side of the ball. They tend to cannibalize, meaning they take votes from each other, right? They cannibalize the other's MVP candidacy. But I don't know, considering that quarterbacks usually get a lot more of the attention with this award, maybe you could maybe see and this is midseason, we're not anywhere near the end of the year, but you could see a Lamar winning another MVP and Derrick Henry winning Offensive Player of the Year if the trends continue.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Right. I agree 100%.
Cool.
I'll also pick them for the Super Bowl if we can get our defense together.
Yeah, it's got some challenges, but I do, again, we're halfway through the season. There's a long way to go. I do think John Harbaugh and his staff are terrific at adjustments. It's one of the things that he does pretty well. So I wouldn't put it past them.
Yes, ma'am. I wouldn't either.
All right. I'm glad you're excited.
Yes, I am. And congratulations on your new marriage.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And I hope you got your light situation taken care of, too.
Unfortunately, no. So here's the latest on the light situation, Ron. The light is still shining brightly. And as you know, we've gone to daylight savings time or whatever it is. What is it now? Is it daylight savings or is it the other way around?
I think it's standard now.
Okay, so standard now. Whatever it is. We turned our clock back, which means that the light now comes on before 5 o'clock in the afternoon, if you can believe that. And it's on until, obviously, after 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, the town has been informed. We took pictures, but the town inspector said he'd be coming out. They had a planning board meeting on Wednesday night, and we were just praying that Joe, our friend Joe from the town, did not forget, because he told us that they have to bring it up at the planning meeting, put it on the notes or the minutes, and that way they can go forward with the official business of sending our neighbors a letter. But in the meantime, that light is still effing brighter than the sun.
No, I understand, because I sleep early in the afternoon and get up late at night to come in and work because I'm a truck driver.
Yep.
So I understand about the sleep.
Right. It's so disturbing. And actually, my husband has to deal with it more than I do because he actually sleeps at night. But on the weekends, it's crazy. I try to hang a blanket over the window. It still doesn't matter. It's that bright. We are building this new room on the back of our house. It's windows. It's not going to have curtains or blinds. And yes, you should see the light reflecting off the inside of the room. It's crazy. So we're believing Joe in our town is going to come through. We're going to bake Joe cookies if he comes through.
I hope so for your sake and
Thank
your husband's
you.
Sake.
I appreciate that. Ron, good to talk to you in Baltimore. Glad you called for the first time. Always nice to hear from people who call for the first time. Marco, any new candidates to throw into the mix for MVP?
No.
Ask a stupid question, get a stupid answer.
I think we went through the litany. I'm sure you guys are. I mean, look, there's the Lamar Jacksons. There's the Derrick Henrys. There's the Josh Allens of the world. There's the Jared Goffs of the world. I mean, you got all the usual suspects. Is there a guy that no one could think of that you could throw in as an MVP candidate?
Dark horse?
No, not really. I mean, not unless you want to throw in a Baker Mayfield, but he's not going to win the award.
No, he's not. He's got way too many interceptions, and they're below 500 right now.
Well, it's the record, but I mean, if memory serves, I haven't looked at the stats today, but if memory serves, I think he's got 23 touchdowns. I think he's leading the league. So he's got monster numbers. It's just that they're the Bucs and they're under 500 and they're not exactly, and you know, it's Baker Mayfield. So it's not going to happen.
Ouch.
But that's
Baker.
You want a dark horse? I'm giving you a guy that's got really good stats. But it's not going
to
happen.
Right. It definitely isn't because there's got to be more value to it than being below 500 and not winning your division.
Now, the only thing that could help him, they go on a monster run. The fact that he doesn't have his top wideouts and Evans won't be back for another, 2 weeks or something like that. That could help him and that could get a little bit of something, but it's still Baker Mayfield. And this is not a knock, but you're going up against guys like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Derrick Henry. It doesn't have the same feel, the panache, whatever you want to call it. That's part of the award. It is.
It is, although even with him leading the league in touchdowns, 23 TDs, 9 picks, he's only 3 ahead of Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, who are now sitting at 20 touchdowns. So there's really not enough of a gap that would give him an edge.
Which is why, like I said, you asked for somebody, that's the only name I could think of that no one mentions. He's a guy that's got good stats that no one mentions.
His rating's above 100.
Will he win the MVP? No. But that's the only guy I could think of that hasn't probably been thrown into the mix.
All right.
There's really nothing there. I mean, look, Saquon's having a great year. Are you going to put Saquon Barkley in the MVP conversation?
Justin Jefferson?
No. Jefferson set records a few years ago, and he wasn't even close.
That's true.
It's not happening. I mean, we could say it. It's fun to talk about. But in reality, is any of these guys really in the MVP race? No, they're not.
All right.
Here's an outside guy.
I like dark horses and outside guys.
Justin Herbert.
Hmm.
They get lost in the shuffle out there, I feel like.
Yeah, and he does have the name that helps, but no.
Who do you think was the consensus number one fantasy football pick this year? Was it probably CMC?
Yes.
Because we didn't know about his injury until right before the season started.
Yes.
I feel for fantasy owners who haven't seen him on the field yet, though he is on track to play in week number 10. But I wonder how many people put Derrick Henry among those top choices simply because he's 30. You know, that's the cliff that proverbially running backs fall off of. Mm-hmm. And just wondering, because last year was a rough year until the very end. The Titans used him a little more at the very end. And wondering whether or not he'd find new life, especially considering the offense and Lamar runs the ball so much. So I'm wondering how many people chose him early. Who else would you think? Justin Jefferson was probably among, but maybe not, because Sam Darnold, they'd lost J.J. McCarthy, and Sam Darnold, people didn't realize what a new found type of confidence and steadiness that he had tapped into in Minnesota?
Yeah, I'll be fair. I'm out of my depths with fantasy because I don't really do it. So I don't know the fantasy players versus reality of what, you know, you would look for. Well, and again, this is not a knock, but I mean, trying to explain this to somebody that was saying, like, well, what's the difference? If you know football, what's the difference? I'm like, Patrick Mahomes
different.
Is the best player on the planet. We all know this. We all agree on it. He's not a top pick in fantasy. There's your difference. So I would be speaking out of turn to know going into the year. I would think Derrick Henry, for the 30 years old, the fact that he really didn't have much of a market, the Ravens seemed like a good option for him, but it was also, he's not going to get as many carries. Hopefully he can turn up and you know, crunch time and they can get their running game going in the fourth quarter when they really need it. But I don't think people expected him to lead the league in rushing. So I would think that that was probably a little lower. I would think, we just mentioned Saquon, I would imagine Barkley was probably pretty high up. They can go into the new offense with the Eagles. He'd get a lot of touches, including in the receiving game. But I'm out of my depth with the fantasy world of it.
And despite the problems they were having contract-wise, CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase were probably in them in that first round.
So I did, this is just a random guy that I Googled, and this popped up. Top 300 for 2024, Mike Clay, if you know his name. He had Christian McCaffrey 1, Bijan Robinson 2, who's had a pretty good year. They're using him more in the passing game. Breece Hall of the Jets was 3, which is rough considering he's been not his fault, but he's been up, then he's been down, then he's been up, and then he's been down. And they've not been able to use that run game as much. 4, CeeDee Lamb, 5, Tyreek Hill, which of course made sense. Remember last year, his goal was 2,000 yards. He got hurt, but obviously without Tua, that doesn't fly. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley. So those were his top dudes. And then he went through guys like Jahmyr Gibbs, Kyren Williams, A.J. Brown, also injured Puka Nacua, also injured. You don't get quarterbacks generally ranked that high because at PPR leagues, they don't reward QBs as much. But those are some of the names. But man, Christian hasn't even hit the field yet. I can't wait to see him. Hopefully gives a jolt to the Niners. At A-Law Radio, if you want to weigh in, we'll take more of your calls. 855-212-4227. Who is a dark horse for MVP? Are you going with one of the more obvi candidates? And we've got a post up on Facebook as well. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
My lane staying long and straight on the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level. Save $10 per club at pxg.com/football. Use code football. Cowboys likely looking at more than 4 weeks without Dak Prescott, reportedly as part of his hamstring pulled off the bone. Dallas yet to put Dak on the IR just yet. Rocky situation, to say the least, for Deshaun Watson since the trade to Cleveland. Done, of course, for the year with the Achilles injury. Puts his future very much in question. Browns GM Andrew Berry not exactly looking to shed any light if Cleveland will continue to have Watson as QB number one upon his return.
Really, our focus with Deshaun, I would say for any player with a season-ending injury and a major injury, is first and foremost with the recovery and to make sure that he gets healthy from the Achilles injury. You know, everything else we'll deal with at a later moment.
Panthers coming off just their second win. They're going to remain in the hands of Bryce Young against the Giants in Germany Sunday. Patrick Mahomes, no limitations from the ankle injury. Chiefs looking to remain perfect against the Broncos. NBA, Russell Westbrook with a throwback effort.
Westbrook has it between the rings. Crossover move to the rim, leans in. Layup good! It's the Russell Westbrook from 15 years ago, or maybe even 5. He's got 29 in the game. Denver leads at 103-99. Westbrook is taking over this basketball game.
29 for Westbrook, 24 for Nikola Jokic, part of another triple-double. Nuggets able to survive the Thunder, 124-122. Call courtesy of the Nuggets Radio Network. Rest your scores. Mavericks race the Bulls, 119-99. It's Luka Doncic at 27. Suns clip the Heat, 115-112. Kevin Durant poured in 32. Kings lit up the Raptors, 122-107. Warriors down the Celtics, 118-112. Clippers roll the Sixers, 110-98. Hawks, 121. Knicks, 116. Rockets overwhelm the Spurs, 127-100. Grizzlies pound the Lakers, 131-114, as LA had to play without Anthony Davis. Sat with the foot injury. LeBron James, 39 in the loss. Cavs outscore the Pelicans, 131-122. They're still perfect, 9-0 now on the season. Pacers, 118. Magic, 111. And the Hornets up in the Pistons, 108-107. College hoops, UConn dominated Sacred Heart, 92-56. Auburn rocked Vermont, 94-43. College football, Ohio suffocated Kent State, 41-0, and Northern Illinois bounced Western Michigan 42-28. I'm Marco Belletti.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown. Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3, 2, 1. Touchdown. Southern's helping into the end zone.
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week.
Up in short motion, Stafford takes a snap, 2nd and 6, bootleg left side. He flips his hips, he fires, he's going deep. DeMarcus brought it in with one hand in the end zone for a walk-off touchdown. 39 yards, DeMarcus Coles game.
Like, he thought it was a run, so I guess Matthew had a great fake with the running back, and I was able to get on top of him. I beat him by like five yards, and Matthew saw me coming out of his rollout and gave me a chance to put it up.
DeMarcus Robinson, who hauled in a terrific pass from Matthew Stafford. You may remember this game went into overtime in the NFC West on Sunday. Wow, that was a long time ago. Went into overtime. The Seahawks actually had the ball first, and instead of kicking a field goal and taking the points, they chose to go for it on fourth down. The Rams defense was up for the challenge, stuffed them. Gave the ball back to Matthew Stafford. Three big passes later, and DeMarcus Robinson was back in the end zone. The call with J.B. Long on Rams Radio. Your choice for TD of the week. We normally reveal on a Wednesday morning during the Hump Show, but since I was not here, which means we're right now on the cusp of another football weekend. By this time tomorrow, we'll be talking about the Thursday night game. This is going to be a good one. The last time it also went into overtime, if I remember correctly, it was in Cincinnati, the previous matchup. This is a little bit odd that already in week 10, we will have seen the Bengals and Ravens play both their games, but it is the Thursday night game. The Bengals have won 3 of 4 without looking. The Ravens, of course, back on track. And here's the thing about the Ravens. They were blowing out teams other than Cincinnati over the course of that 5-game streak. And then with the Broncos this past weekend, the combination of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson has been lethal. And here they get to host the Bengals on Thursday night. My niece lives a block from M&T Bank Stadium, and so she's getting used to, they're on a ground floor apartment, she's getting used to game days being a completely different city that's completely clad in purple. And I don't think they've had a Thursday night game yet this year that they've hosted, so this will be funny that I'll get her reaction. We're supposed to actually talk on the phone on Thursday night. 855-212-4227. Johnny in Virginia, who is your NFL MVP at midseason?
Yeah, so my dark horse. First of all, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My dark horse would be probably Jaden Daniels.
Why do you think dark horse? Because he's a rookie?
Well, I mean, yeah, just because he's a rookie. Like, I think he should be MVP from what he's done for the team. And I do, like, honestly, I'm, like, so excited to be a Commanders fan. And, like, from top down, from the bottom, this has been such a fantastic and, like, breath of fresh air. Like, you have no idea. From Adam Peters to all the coaching decisions that they've made, I was a little hesitant on Dan Quinn. But, like, the staff he brought in, from Cliff Kingsbury all the way down to even, like, our offensive linebackers coach, so Johnson from the Eagles. Like, it is fantastic. I am so happy to be a fan.
I can imagine, and I do believe they're a little ahead of schedule because of all the young pieces that they have in place, but I think it starts with the new ownership. They've got a commitment to winning. We know that as much as it was hard to see guys get wiped out. I'm a huge fan of Ron Rivera. He was put in a tough situation. He told us that a couple weeks ago on the show. But yeah, when you think about the ownership that's committed to winning, wanting to put the right people in place, bringing in a structure, and then a head coach that they they feel like carries on that same identity and that approach to winning. Now, Dan Quinn's been in the league before, which I think is huge. Well, been in the league for a long time, both as head coach and D coordinator in two winning organizations. Yeah, they've made good decisions, but still, with the number of young guys they have, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I do feel like they're even a little bit ahead of schedule.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But like I said, I'm just really excited. And
yes.
I'm really excited to see what happens in the future.
I can imagine.
Can't predict what happens. But for the first time in a long time, I feel like we can compete with anyone in the division, especially with a new pickup on the cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like that just moves everything around perfectly.
Yeah, agree with you, Johnny. I like what we see, and I'm so happy for the fan base. Thank you for your phone call. It's good to connect with you. That's one of my favorite parts of covering sports is that it's fairly routine. Now, you do have some fan bases that get to be on top for long periods of time. The Patriots, the Warriors, the Chiefs now, of course. So you do get some teams that manage to stay relevant for longer stretches. The Ravens have had a great run with John Harbaugh, of course, even before Lamar Jackson. But then you've got fan bases that are out of the picture or irrelevant for long stretches. Right now, you could say the Pistons are a part of that conversation. You could talk, of course, about the Lions, which I did with Amy Trask, and how long they've been down. The Commanders have been through the ringer, and their fans have too. Name changes, front office changes, ownership changes, scandals, coaching changes, a revolving door of quarterbacks. The stability. That's amazing now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.